The Correctional Facility, a novella, written by Bill Schubart, narrated by Kent Casella.
Foreword. The correctional facility was written while listening to Perrotin's Viderunt omnes fines terra, All the Ends of the Earth Have I Seen, and Léonin's Cantus Firmus, two-part, both of the Notre-Dame Organum School, contemporaries of Dante Alighieri in the 12th and 13th century. Raised as a Catholic in rural Vermont, I was infused with an awareness of sin and penitence, but also absolution and forgiveness. My late teenage encounter with Dostoevsky's Legend of the Grand Inquisitor shattered my youthful allegiance to Catholic dogma, but it's one thing to walk away from Catholic doctrine and quite another to lose the weight of its beauty, fear, and guilt. Shortly after I read The Brothers Karamazov, in which The Legend of the Grand Inquisitor occurs, as a story told by Ivan Karamazov, the Sybarite, to his novice monk brother Alyosha, I read Dante's Inferno. I was fascinated by the vivid portrayal of the hell I'd heard about so graphically from the Quebecois sisters who came down to teach Saturday morning catechism. I saw in Dante's work and the extraordinary illustrations of Gustave Doré the hell I had imagined in catechism, a hell that haunts my imagination to this day. Is sin a temporal concept? Some of the sins of Dante's time are not viewed as such today. Heresy, suicide, concupiscence. His simple architecture of human sin is lost today in scale and technology. In 1320, one killed with one's hands or with a piercing weapon like a stiletto, battle axe, or sword, or with poison. Today, we have drones, nuclear bombs, and industrial toxins leaching into our soil, water, food, and air. And pharma, subliminal mass homicides. The correctional facility comes after a lifetime of living with Catholicism and Dante's weight of sin, evil, punishment, expiation, and redemption, and is my effort to make sense of it all. Bill Schubart.
Canto 1, The Boreal Forest. My office walls of pale blue and mustard dissolve at dusk to black, surcease, and suicide. For black's the sum of colors and of vestments celebrating death. And fluorescent white, a vacancy of color, knows my solitude, dysphoria, inconsequence. So I set out on foot into the woods to leave my prior life behind. 9 days ago, I entered the boreal forest intent on walking and hoping to find my lost self. A deep melancholy had fogged in the last few of my 42 years, and as the youthful life force that had propelled me thus far began to ebb and I saw ahead my own mortality, I felt only despair. My university research into industrial agricultural practices and soil and water toxicology had thoroughly discouraged me about our earthly prospects. Then the slow death of our 11-year-old daughter Flora and the ensuing decline of my marriage left me in alienation with myself, those I loved, and all around me. As Flora's leukemia progressed and turned her beautiful young girl's body into a battlefield of rampaging white and red blood cells, she slowly wasted away in front of us, losing body mass, color, and her will to live. Distraught, Lena and I sat by her hospital bed holding her cool hands, not seeing our own affection for one another dying alongside our daughter. When her palliative care nurse broke the news to us of her peaceful death in the first light of day, Lena gasped and I dissolved into sadness and silence. We could neither assign blame nor free ourselves from guilt or our last mage of her lying in an open casket with alien makeup, and wordlessly, we left her, and one another, there.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?